number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lions, and excited to resume our conversations with our man Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, presented by Old National Bank. Get old, Greg. Hope you had a great Christmas and New Year. How you doing?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Can't complain. Got some good stuff. But I'm good. I'm in a weird professional purgatory right now. I'm on family leave from ESPN to be with the newborn son, but I'm still doing all of the other stuff that I'm doing. So I couldn't cut myself off completely from hockey, and yet my fingers aren't going to be working for the next month. It's an interesting place to be.
So you're not completely hiding down a hallway like Joel Hoffer was last night, but you're still engaged?
So the wrap on that apparently is the way that the stadium is constructed, that's usually where the backup goalie hangs out. But I refuse to believe that. I mean, the look he gave the camera as it zoomed in
so perfect.
Is that of a man who was hiding, that of a man who wanted nothing to do with what was happening on the ice. And I don't care what the explanation ends up being. In my mind, he's trying to get as small as he can and hoping that no one can notice him.
Yeah, he was basically like, I'm good. We'll let Jordan finish the game. I'm totally fine. Since we last talked, the Predators have been on a tear as of late, as they are now very much in the mix in the wild card race in the Western Conference. What's kind of been your take on how they played as of late?
Well, I mean, I looked at it. If you look at the last month, going back to December 9th, they're like, I think, 8th or 9th in points percentage. I mean, they are one of the best teams in hockey in the last month. And, you know, a lot of that, I think, has to do with the uptick in offense. I mean, you look at the players that have been performing in that stretch. It's the ones that had been sort of misfiring earlier in the season, chief among them obviously being Steven Stamkos. But then you get O'Reilly and Forsberg and, you know, Evangelista, and all these guys are contributing to a team that's, I think, kind of in the best dozen offensive teams in the last month. They're still kind of middle of the pack defensively, but, you know, overall they're doing enough to win games, and there's no denying the results they're getting, which has thrust them back into a playoff race. Maybe much to the chagrin of the vultures circling this team earlier this season, looking to pluck players, but they're certainly a lot more relevant in this wild card race than I think a lot of us thought they'd be.
But here's the question: if you're Barry Trotz, and he comes on our air every week and talks about this stuff, and, you know, kind of says he's taking it day by day, you still know where you truly are long term. Now, yeah, you get into the playoffs; we've seen it; anything can happen, but. You know, where do they match up against a Colorado, a Dallas, a Minnesota? I would say down the stretch that those teams are probably better. So if you're getting offers for guys like O'Reilly or, you know, other key players, don't you have to still sit there and consider it?
You do. I mean, I think you're always considering it in case somebody comes in and blows you away with something. And, you know, obviously – The undercurrent to the success of some of these players down in the last month is that all of a sudden their value starts to spike. I mean, my God, the value of a Steven Stamkos now versus what it was a month and a half ago, it's not even in the same conversation, because now he's shown he can still be a viable offensive player in 2025-26. That being said, I mean, you know, like you said, you know where this team is and you know the direction that it's going. And if you ask an executive in this league, winning matters, forward momentum matters, getting playoff experience for young players matters. And so as much as there's probably going to be the temptation to sell high, and it's not to say that they won't if the right offers come in, I think there's probably also going to be a temptation to keep this thing rolling and see what they end up doing, even if that ends up being, you know, a first-round buy for the Colorado Avalanche, which is probably the fate of anybody that falls in that wild card two spot.
Greg, with the Olympic break coming up here in a few weeks and everything, the schedule being so bunched up together, I've heard Andrew Burnett say this, other coaches around the league, we don't have a lot of time to practice. We don't have a lot of time to practice. We're playing, you know, almost every night, other night, all that. Like, does that have any credence with you? I mean, when teams like maybe Chicago and Utah and San Jose are right in that middle pack and maybe more practicing can help, or is this just like a coach like, we're going to throw it out there and that's an excuse?
Dude, I just think there's no time for it. I mean, you know, first of all, that there's already been kind of a trend in this league for years to get away from morning skates. You know, I think it started with some of the West Coast teams and the schedules they had to keep, and I think other teams have adopted it over time. But I think this season sort of demands to not have to practice a lot. They just don't have the time. And also, you know, you're trying to preserve the bodies of these players. A number of guys and a number of coaches have noted that because of the condensed schedule, you know, there's a lot of high-profile players that have suffered injuries, and, you know, there's a lot of lineup absences because of the condensed schedule as well. So the more downtime you can give them, the more time you can give them to recover, the better it's going to be. And that's just kind of across the league what you're seeing this year.
Blackhawks have won four straight. How close are they, do you think, from breaking through and becoming, get on that trajectory, Greg, of being really good again?
They found some pieces. I mean, I think the biggest takeaway for me this season for them has been Spencer Knight, in the sense that you know, that big trade they swung last year that gets Seth Jones on the Panthers, they acquire Spencer Knight as sort of what they hope would be their goalie of the future, and it looks like they might have one in them, which is great news for them. It's one less thing you have to worry about. But, you know, if you look at them and you look at, say, the San Jose Sharks, the other team that's obviously in that conversation of, you know, when will they turn the corner, I think you can clearly see the Sharks are a little bit further ahead. You know, maybe that's the Macklin Celebrini of it all. I don't know. But, like, I still think Chicago is a team that has some pieces they have to put together. But, you know, one of the more underappreciated stories this year, to be honest, is the job that Jeff Blashill's done with them. I think when he got hired in Chicago, there was a lot of eye rolling because they saw him as a retread. You know, he didn't get the job done in Detroit. Why are you hiring him in Chicago? But he's always been a guy that I've really liked. He's always been a coach that I think in the right situation could thrive. And, you know, he's worked under really smart guys, including John Cooper in Tampa. And I think he's a primary reason they are where they are right now this season.
Very good. Greg, I'm a big on honoring guys who were legends in the sports, whether it's hockey, baseball, football, doesn't matter. Glenn Hall passed away, Hall of Fame goalie. I mean, 502 starts as a goaltender, Iron Man streak. I mean, guys like that built hockey, and I'm pretty sure you're like me. They need to be honored, especially when they pass away.
Well, we talked to me and Jeff Merrick on our podcast today. Talked about him a lot because that is clearly one of sports' most unbreakable records. I mean, we celebrate when guys play 70 games in a season,
right?
Let alone, you know, 500 in a row. And it's never, unless they genetically create a goaltender who never gets tired in a lab somewhere, that record's never getting broken. The two things I was thinking about Glenn Hall recently, one is every time you see a picture of him play, you wince because you think back to the times in which goalies did not wear masks. And even as a kid, like as a kid growing up and watching hockey, like the moment that you see a picture from back in the day and you see one of these guys without a mask, you're just like, how the hell did that happen? How is that not like homicide on ice? The fact that these guys played without masks. And then the other thing too, there's a great picture of Hall that we showed on our show, The Sheet, today, me and Merrick, where he's in the locker room, he's wearing shoulder pads that look like they're made out of wet paper towels, and he's smoking a cigarette in the locker room. I'm just like, bring me back to those days, baby. when hockey players were hockey players, no protection, and just smoking a dart in the locker room between periods.
So good. Greg Wyshynski.
A dart.
I love that. Greg Wyshynski is with us here on the program. So every team has hit the halfway mark or a little past it now in the season. What team or teams in your mind may have some second half juice that we haven't quite seen in the first half?
I mean, the chief among them is the Devils. I mean, it might be like geographic bias, but I mean, like, that's a team that is just aimless. They've got no passion right now. But I was talking to one of their players the other day, and he said, look, the biggest cure for cancer in the NHL is winning. And if they could string together something in the second half of the season, that's a team that could easily get on a real roll. And they've got the talent to do it. You know, there's some other teams that have sort of underperformed. I still think Vegas has another gear to hit. I don't think they've really been playing well. I think if they get Aiden Hill back, that could really elevate them. But again, you look up and down this league right now with the amount of parity that we have and the amount of teams that are just bunched together. It's going to be a fascinating second half, if only to figure out which one of these teams is going to really, you know, dramatically pull the trigger on a move that could separate them from the pack, and which team does that first. So it's a fascinating little season we've got cooked up here, and I'm dying to see how it breaks down.
I got to tell you though, I'm a little worried about Colorado. They've lost two in a row. I mean, that's four losses on the year. So the wheels might be falling off.
But for real, I mean, like, they might go through a stretch here where they're not as dominant. I mean, Devon Taves is banged up. Landis Cogg with that injury, there's concern he might not be able to play in the Olympics. Blackwood's out of the lineup again. Mackenzie Blackwood is, like, your quintessential guy where if you could possibly keep him healthy, he might win a Vezina trophy. But keeping him healthy is the real problem. They've got Wedgwood, who's been great. But, like, if you look at Blackwood since he came back from injury, he kind of has a record that reminds you of Linus Ullmark's record when Boston went on that bender a couple years ago. Yeah. Where he was like 101-1 or some nonsense. Like, that's how good Blackwood's been for them this year. So they're getting a little test here, and obviously that's good news for Jared Bednar. Any of these coaches that coaches one of these juggernauts will tell you, like, we want adversity, we want challenges, we don't want to be on cruise control for months on end, because that's what ends up getting you, you know, Tampa Bay getting upset in the first round by Columbus. You know, you want to have these moments where you have to kind of like pick yourself up and play a little bit better, and I think Colorado might actually be in one of those right now.
Greg, tell us, you know, for us that follow the Nashville Predators, that love the Nashville Predators like me, but I'm a casual observer of the NHL, tell us how impressive the milestone is of Steven Stamkos and 600 goals.
Oh, man, it's incredible. I mean, if you think back to the Ovechkin record that we just saw get set last season and him passing Gretzky, you know, one of the things that we talked about was how much more difficult it is to score goals now than it's ever been in the sport, because the goalies are that much better, because the defensive systems are that much better, because the defensemen are that much better. You know, it's just become really, really hard to score goals in this league. And so for Stammer to have done that, you know, throughout his career and during a time when, you know, Ovechkin, McDavid, Dreisaitl, you know, you can count on one hand the number of other guys that have had those kinds of goal scoring numbers on average is simply remarkable. I mean, he's going to go down as one of the best goal scorers of his era. And we just talked about injuries. I mean, the great what if is if Stammer had been able to stay healthy throughout his career, what that goal total might have ended up looking like, because he did lose some time in some prime years to injury. And I think it really took away from what could be considered to be, you know, top of the pops, kind of elite, right, elite goal scoring careers of all time.
He is Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, and enjoy time with the baby, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Anytime. He's good at watching hockey, I can tell you that. He's a good little snuggly little hockey watcher, so far so good with him.
That a boy. That's what I love to see. Greg, we'll talk to you. Thanks.
Take care.
Greg Wyshynski joining us on the program, and he, as always, is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about the Preds. They're back in action. They're finally back home tonight,
right,
against
pal?
The Islanders. We'll do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.